Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Juicy woman, so jazzed you're here. Oh my gosh. What I have to share with you today is going to knock your socks off, rock your world, and blow your mind. Are you a dieter or a former Weight Watcher? Well, if you are, you know how difficult it can be to avoid craving eating your favorite foods. It doesn't matter if they're far or near in the cabinet, or you have to get in the car and drive 70 miles to get them. Trust me, I've done that. Back in 1986, 7-Eleven's hot dogs in Coram, New York, all the way out in New York, in Long Island. Anyway, just the thought of whatever food you love makes your mouth water with anticipation. Now, let's start with the definition of what Webster's calls a craving. It says a need, a longing, a yearning. These food cravings, once you set out to avoid them and keep them arm's distance away from you, images of them and the real thing seems to pop up stronger than ever before. And what usually happens? Most of the time, we feel so out of control around our cravings that we just give in and eat every single time we see the food. It's so hard watching someone eating something we want to have. To smell or hear food cooking, drive-thrus everywhere, commercials on the TV, magazines and websites with pictures of food. Oh, it's torture, isn't it? It's like a 24-hour foodorama, and you're stuck in the middle of it, and you just want to eat everything you see. Speaking of that, let me just mention that National Eating Disorders Awareness Week is around the corner. It's next week from February 25th through March 2nd, and I want to encourage you to start to look at your challenges with food in the feelings that you have toward your body from a really compassionate place and point of view. I often get letters from women asking how in the hell they could ever be okay with their bodies as they are. Well, that's what I'm here to teach you how to do. I'm going to share my experience with you of how I learned to see myself as more than just a number. In the previous show, I shared a story of when I gained a huge insight that led me to realize that I had developed a bad habit of talking to myself and becoming my own worst enemy. Then, when I started to talk to myself in a more compassionate and loving way, that was when massive changes began to occur in my life. It was almost like I was giving myself permission to be nice to me, to love myself, something that all the Oreos and cookies and cakes and bowls of pasta were trying to give me but couldn't, over the many years that I found myself enslaved by them. I'd like to share an email from a woman named Anita. Anita's having a difficult time with pretzels. And she writes, I used to eat what I wanted. Then I fell off the don't diet wagon, though I know it's not a wagon or a diet. I'm tired of the struggle. Why would anyone eat a one-pound bag of pretzels? They're dry and tasteless. Shouldn't I deserve better? As I told Anita, and I'll tell you, I don't believe that it is food greed or the appreciation for the taste of food that's really driving the overeating. It may definitely be a factor, but not the whole enchilada. Here's why. In the immortal words of one of my favorite late great 70s singers, Barry White, he says, too much of anything is not good for you, baby. That goes for anything, especially food. To answer your question, yes, of course, Anita, you deserve better. Many times we confuse the whole issue of deserving with food, and that becomes our reason for feeling compelled to overeat. It becomes a push-me-pull-you tug-of-war that you're sure to end up losing. If you've thought of a particular food as off limits, it makes perfect sense that once you acquire it, you would naturally tend to overeat it. It's known as Last Supper Eating, and you can find more about that in the Intuitive Eating book by Evelyn Triboli and Elise Resch. The truth is, food tastes good. There's no getting around it. The problem is feeling safe enough and comfortable enough to know when you can stop eating something that tastes good. That means that if you put it down, it won't feel like someone is trying to pry it out of your cold, dead fingers. You'll be fine with ending the meal and eager to move on to the rest of your day. It won't feel like a huge, big emotional conflict. That's when you'll know internally that eating just one more little bite will take you over the edge from feeling good into feeling bad. And that alone will make you choose not to eat that extra bite. Feeling safe about knowing that you can always eat those pretzels will make you not want to overeat them. If pretzels are a challenge for you, oh my gosh, keep those babies in the cabinet and around you all the time. That's the way to break through the permission barrier so your brain can get the message that they're okay and you can begin to relax around them. Each of us has our own unique tastes, and that governs the choices we make. The point is, you may really love pretzels and find them to be a very difficult food to recognize when your body has had enough of them to feel satisfied. They may trigger urges in you that you don't understand, and it makes it feel impossible to stop eating them once you start. I've learned the hard way that our cravings are really, really unmet needs disguised as food. To some people, those pretzels may be dry and tasteless, and they would have no desire whatsoever to eat them because that's not the food that pushes their hunger buttons. But to you, Anita, they may represent very special memories from your past. For you, it may be pretzels. For me, oh my gosh, it was Ben and Jerry's mint chocolate cookie ice cream. Once I started eating it, I couldn't stop. Today, I wouldn't touch it because I find it too sweet. And if I do reach for it, I know it's not for reasons of taste. Either way, I urge you to avoid putting yourself down for falling into a pattern of overeating food that you either like or you don't like. I've learned that it only compounds the problem to kick yourself when you're down. Rather, be as gentle as you possibly can and see if you can ask yourself, what is it about these pretzels that captured your attention and made you want to eat them in the amount you did? Please know that there's no cause or reason for judgment. That serves no purpose. Rather, I'd like to encourage you to be curious and go on a fact-finding mission. Be willing to be curious and say to yourself, I'm so curious, why? I wonder why I wanted to eat those pretzels. I wonder what they represented to me and what I was seeking to get out of them. You may want to consider taking a more proactive approach to dealing with your stress. As an emotional eater, I've learned that food is the quickest route to getting that instant hit of relief from any bugaboo in my life. The difference is, now that I have other methods to deal with those bugums, I rarely default back to food because I've learned to enjoy eating all foods and nothing's off limits anymore. Having that new awareness of food has created a great deal of harmony and balance in my life that had long been missing. I got to tell you, I would heartily recommend that you consider using EFT or any of the other stress relief techniques that I teach and questioning those phantom hungers and finding out what about those pretzels has pushed your buttons. So let me ask you, what foods have been trying to tell you that you're craving more self-acceptance and love? My aim here is to help you to find a deeper level of compassion for yourself so that you'll be able to look at your eating as a sign from your body shouting out to you that there are places in your life where you're feeling like you're starving. Thank you, Anita. For those who are just joining us, today's episode is called Decode Your Cravings and Listen to Your Crazings with EFT. EFT is short for Emotional Freedom Technique. And oh my gosh, it's crazy powerful. It's a fabulous stress relief process that works for so many things. But tonight, I'll teach you how to use it to apply it to your cravings. So now, let's talk about food cravings. Come on now. I'd love to encourage you guys to call in and share your questions and insights with everyone here. The call-in number is 760-888-5736. Call me. So how often do you get cravings? When do they hit? You got to ask yourself, what's happening in your life when you get that undeniable urge to just drop everything you're doing and just eat? I want you to think about those things because they really do matter. And my bet is that you never, ever gave them a second thought, did you? I'll bet that you're thinking that you've got pretty slim pickings in terms of choices of how you can deal with your cravings. Okay, let's say you have a craving for a Snickers bar. And oh my gosh, you just love them so much. You think they're so rich and chocolatey and, ooh, the caramel is so gooey and yummy. Mmm, the peanuts are so fresh. You just swoon when you think about them. So imagine you're just going along with your day. Could be sitting at the computer working on writing or something, trying to meet a deadline, facing a blank screen, not quite knowing what to say. Then, bam! Huge image of a Snickers bar fills your head, and you can't seem to get it out of your mind. What do? White-knuckle your way through and pretend that you didn't really buy a 12-pack of king-size Snickers bars yesterday? Okay, let's say you try that, and you keep on looking at the blank screen, trying to avoid thinking of those Snickers that are just sitting there in the cabinet calling your name. I'm waiting for you. I'll make you so happy. What's your plan? Try to distract yourself and go back to whatever you were doing, looking at that blank screen? Or do you just decide to bite your lip and ride out the craving until you don't have it anymore? What do you do? Come on now, guys. Call in and share with me. 760-888-5736. Do you just give in and eat every single Snickers that are in the cabinet? Or is there another alternative? Yeah, I discovered that there is another way. Here's what I learned. If you can relate to often feeling like you're walking around starved out of your mind, and many times throughout the day you find yourself going to the fridge, opening and closing it, desperately searching for something, anything, that hunger that's beating a path to the fridge, driving your urge to eat, isn't coming from your body. Let me share a story of something that happened to me this week to give you some insight into what I mean about that. Last week, I told a really emotional story that kind of left me feeling pretty raw and vulnerable. You may remember that I was even getting choked up as I shared it because it's still a soft spot for me. Then the next day, when I listened to the show to review it and do the editing, hearing myself tell the story again was even more emotional for me. Immediately after listening to the story, I got hit with the craving for one of my favorite candies. You probably know them. They're those bite-sized milk chocolate-covered caramel bits called Milk Duds. Love them. The craving knocked me off my feet. I knew that I just bought some the day before, and I had an unopened box in my kitchen cabinet. Why, you may ask? Well, because I'm not afraid of food anymore, so I don't go to any lengths to avoid it, because I know that I can trust myself around it. And if by chance I do lose my mind and binge, then I know that there's more to it than food. You see, I've been working to build my speaking business, and that means coming out of the safe space of being unknown into a place where I risk being vulnerable and judged by other people. Oh my God, scary stuff. To someone who's not used to being comfortable expressing herself, that is pretty frightening. But my message is so much bigger than me, so I feel passionate about sharing it everywhere. As a result of that, I face a lot of fears along the way. Most of the time, I just power through feeling the fear and doing it anyway. But, yeah, sometimes I get stuck in old patterns of using food for comfort. Yep, you guessed it. That's why I've been buying and eating more sweets than usual. So that day when the craving hit, I decided that instead of just eating the Milk Duds, I'd explore what was really going on. I decided to explore the craving further using a simple stress relief method called Emotional Freedom Technique, or EFT. Just a quick bit about EFT. It's derived from the ancient science of acupuncture. Like over 5,000 years ago, the ancient Chinese doctors discovered that our bodies are filled with channels of electricity running through them. When anything happens to block the channels, it causes pain or emotional distress in your body. So within a few minutes of tapping on the side of my hand that morning and focusing on how I felt, I uncovered a bittersweet memory of a time when my dad and I used to go see James Bond movies together. He used to buy a box of Milk Duds, and we shared them. I had forgotten all about that. But lately, over the past month or so, my husband and son have been watching James Bond movies, and Angel, my husband, has been listening to Shirley Bassey sing Diamonds Are Forever and Goldfinger. What two of the theme songs to probably two of the movies that Dad and I saw together. So when I remembered that time with my dad, I felt happy and sad because unfortunately we're no longer close. We're now estranged from one another. That was why the Milk Duds were trying to bust down my emotional door. Hearing Angel and PT talk about the James Bond movies must have triggered a memory of sadness, which set off my Milk Dud alert. It's been going off for probably the past month or so, until this happened. So after releasing the sadness connected to the memory, I felt so good and emotionally satisfied, and I happily put the Milk Duds back in the cabinet. The craving to eat them had disappeared absolutely and completely, and I haven't craved them since. So let me explain how the cravings work on your brain. Since I'm now 50, I grew up in the 70s, during a time when we had records. Yes, records. I loved Elton John's music, still do. And I sang along with his records whenever I could. In order to learn the words to the songs, I can't believe what a geek I was. I would spend hours with a pen and paper painstakingly copying down every single word that I heard Elton sing. And let me tell you, that was not easy to hear because he sang falsetto in those days. But anyway, not being a very fast writer, I had to pick up the record needle and place it back down as carefully as possible to avoid damaging the record. When the record got damaged, and it always did, it would skip, which means that a certain phrase would repeat over and over again, not stopping until I would pick up the handle of the record needle and take it off the record. While taking down the words to a song, Rocket Man, the record skipped, and it sounded like this. I'm a rock, I'm a rock, I'm a rock. This is what happens in your brain when you experience something that is deeply emotional. Just like the broken record, your brain replays a part of the event over and over again without ending. The way it works is that you're reminded of something that you hear, see, smell, taste, or touched. And that information goes up to your brain and it looks to find a connection to something that's already been made. Just like, oh, think of having a room full of filing cabinets in your brain, and your brain goes through all of its files, and the most emotionally meaningful association becomes the trigger. That's called an anchor. It's a stimulus to remember something. Years ago, around 2005, I had a client named Jen who came to me because she couldn't stop eating chocolate. It didn't matter what kind it was or how it was prepared, from bitter cocoa to hot cocoa. That was all she wanted to consume. She was so freaked out by the fact that she had gained 70 pounds. You see, she had quit smoking a year earlier and went back to eating, and chocolate really, really hit her happy spot. Around that time, I was just beginning to create my group coaching program to help women to deal with cravings. My craving zapping program began with Jen, plus four other women, and myself. We all met on Wednesday nights on a phone bridge line. Each of the women would bring whatever food they were craving to the call, and we tapped using the stress relief process known as EFT. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. They brought everything and anything, chocolate bars, ice cream, pizza, Chinese food, fried chicken, you name it. I explained to the women that their cravings are actually unmet emotional needs in disguise, and that we were gathered together in a safe space, and they were free to talk about whatever it was they were feeling. At first, we started to deal specifically with the craving and the urges that they had to eat the food. Then inevitably, something would shift, and they would either remember something or get a really strong feeling. When it was Jen's turn, she had brought some chocolate chips. As I led her and everyone else to tap on the side of their hands and to say specific statements about what Jen was thinking about the chocolate, Jen burst into tears and said, "My mother used to bake chocolate chip cookies when I would come home from school. She and I would eat them when they were still hot from the oven." I asked her why she was crying, and she said, "Because my mother died last year, and I've been so overcome with grief, I haven't even been able to cry. I guess eating the chocolate was my way of keeping my mom alive." She explained that soon after her mom had passed away, that was also the same time that she decided to go cold turkey and give up her two-pack-a-day cigarette habit. Up until that time, her smoking was keeping her from feeling the loss of her mother's death. It kind of kept her numb. But when she stopped the smoking, all her defenses came tumbling down, and she was left without her emotional crutch, the cigarette. That's when she started to feel the pain of the emptiness and began binging on chocolate. The point that I want to drive home is that your subconscious mind is connected to a basic primal instinct that drives you to survive. It's filled with every thought, feeling, emotion, memory, and image that you've ever experienced in your life. Remember I was talking about the record? Just like the record skipping, when Jen's mom died, Jen's brain sent signals to her body to find chocolate and eat it. You see, there's a part of your brain called the amygdala. It's kind of like a smoke alarm that senses the presence of danger or stress. When you're stressed out, that alarm is going off on red alert and telling you to do whatever you've done before that has relaxed and calmed you down. For Jen, that was eating chocolate. There was no sense of how much or when to stop or anything like that. Her brain was just telling her, eat chocolate. Jen was at the mercy of her subconscious programming. She came to me thinking that she had no willpower or discipline, and that if she could only get a handle on getting motivated to stop eating chocolate, she'd be fine. Do you get how Jen's brain was continually skipping and replaying her old memories of her mom, bringing up her grief and pain? All that hurt was making her internal smoke alarm go insane. You know, our bodies can't tell the difference between an imagined thought and reality. So can you imagine how much pain Jen was trying to avoid when her brain was telling her that her mother wasn't there for her anymore? That caused her to seek out the comfort of the chocolate, and bam, she couldn't stop herself from eating it if she wanted to. Nothing would have stopped her from wanting to eat that chocolate because it became a primal urge for her to protect and comfort herself from her grief that was causing her so much pain. To her, it felt bottomless. When she tapped on the side of her hand, it sent a signal to her brain to let her know that it was safe and that she would be okay. When the sadness came up as she thought about her mother, her memories of the happy times began to light up, and some of the sadness of feeling her loss was changing to a greater sense of peace. As she continued to tap on her sad feelings, her desire to overeat the chocolate disappeared. When she tapped on making the choice to either eat it or not, she chose to put it away that evening. Oh my gosh, we all had a good cry that night, feeling so connected to each other. Let me tell you more about EFT. Oh gosh, it's considered to be the psychological version of acupuncture or acupressure. Instead of using needles, you'll use your fingers and do a light tapping motion on specific parts of your face, hands, and body. These spots are actually known as endpoints of meridians. Ancient Chinese doctors discovered that there are actually circuits in your body where electricity is passing along and traveling. And by tapping on these actual spots, you could either tap on them or touch them lightly or kind of rub them. You're actually cleaning and clearing out the toxins that are built up and blocking the flow of the energy. EFT was created by a Stanford engineer, Gary Craig, in the early 90s. This was a further development of a process that was first called thought field therapy, which was created by Dr. Roger Callahan. Oh, gosh, EFT is amazing. It is fast becoming a powerful healing method used by millions. People tap to release depression, anxiety, allergies, cravings, negative emotions, painful memories, trauma, and so many other physical and emotional issues. Remember when I said that food is not the issue? Well, that's because overeating is just one of the symptoms of stress in the body. People do lots of things to avoid dealing with their stress. Think about it. Smoking, drinking, drugs. Anything done to excess indicates that there's an imbalance in the body and that something is causing the person to feel conflicted. EFT is a way of clearing out your emotional and physical conflicts so that your body can go back to healing itself. Now, EFT, it's used right now in so many emergency situations where people are experiencing trauma. Recently, scientists have done research showing that veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, when they tap and they use EFT an hour a day, they are actually able to reduce the levels of cortisol in their body by 25%. Absolutely unheard of in the medical community. It's shocking. This is such a radical shift. EFT right now is being used to help genocide survivors in Rwanda deal with the trauma and the grief of the rapes and all the horrible things that have gone on. And right now, at this very moment, there's a coalition of more than 40 people in Newtown, Connecticut, that make up doctors, teachers, and therapists who are seeking to find new ways of dealing with trauma. In the coming weeks, I'll be doing interviews with experts discussing this work with EFT. Oh, I got to tell you, I love it so much. I get really emotional about it because from the first time I first learned about EFT, it has worked miracles in my life. As an abuse survivor, I tell you, it did for me what 18 years of talk therapy failed to do. In just minutes, EFT removed a painful connection to sexual abuse traumas, memories that had replayed themselves in my head for years and years, decades. It occurred so many years ago. Today, because of the time, the little bit of time that I spent tapping with the woman who taught me EFT, today I can still recall those memories, but I don't feel anything when I think of them. I have freedom from that, finally. This is the gift that I want to share with you. You know, we all have haunts and hurts from our past that affect us. Now, you know that those roadblocks to your success and happiness are wedging themselves in your body by blocking your energy. By using EFT to tap on them, you'll be able to neutralize those emotions and they won't have the same pull on you as before. Okay, now, who wants to try EFT? Does anyone have a food that they brought with them that you'd like to explore what's behind the craving? Come on, call me! If not, then I'll keep going and explain how you can use EFT to zap your cravings. Last week, when I put the audio of my craving for the milk duds on my blog, I just use a very, very basic craving protocol. Don't even worry if you miss any of the steps. I'll make them available to you through my Facebook page. Just like my Facebook page and I'll send you the information. Here goes. I'm going to tell you the steps to complete the process and then break them down one by one. But really, it is so much easier than this step-by-step process. All you have to do is hold whatever image it is that you have in your mind. As long as you tune into what it is that you're thinking. So if you're thinking, let's just say it's the Snickers. Think about Snickers and how you feel and just tap on the points. All right, that's all you have to do. But I'll go through the steps, you know, in case that's something that you would like. First, you got to choose a specific target. It could be an emotion, event, or a symptom. It's not just for a craving because it's going to move around on you. You're going to rate the intensity of how you feel and evaluate the level of discomfort you have so that you can keep track of the success. What you want to do is you want to write it down, ideally, because many times we forget and you won't realize how quickly the intensity just dropped out. It was like the bottom dropped out. Then you're going to create a setup statement. And the setup statement is really a way of keeping tabs on what it is that you're thinking. Again, to keep you tuned in and targeted to what it is you want to work on. Then you're going to tap on the acupressure points while you tune into the problem. So, let's break it down and I'll slowly walk you through. First, if you have the food in front of you, that's ideal. I want you to open it, if it's a box or bag or a container, and then take a moment and look at it. Now, bring it close to your nose and smell it. Really, really take in the scent, take in the aroma of that, and touch it. Now, think about rating the intensity of how badly do you want it. How intense is that craving? On a scale from 0 to 10. You're going to ask yourself, how badly do I want it? Now write down that number. And with your dominant hand, begin to tap on the side of your non-dominant hand. The place where you'll be tapping on the part of your is on the part of the... Oh, my goodness. The place where you'll be tapping is on the part of your hand where a martial artist would break a block of wood. This is called the karate chop point, and it's also known as the psychological reversal point. And that means that by tapping on that area, you'll be sending a signal to your brain to release a cascade of happy hormones that will relax and make you feel more at ease. Muscle relaxants like dopamine and endorphins will cause a release and relax response in your body. Now, really simply, I want you to repeat this. Even though I have this craving, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. You're going to be tapping on the side of your hand. Now say it again. Even though I have this craving, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. And you continue tapping. Even though I have this craving, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. The next place you're going to be tapping is on the inner corner where your eyebrow and where your eyebrow meets the bridge of your nose. And I want you to just say, this craving, this craving. Now you're going to take your two fingers and you're going to go to the opposite end where your brow ends. This craving. This craving. I want to eat this. Now you're going to go under your eye. I want to eat this. I'm so hungry. And you could mention whatever it is. Be creative. It is so, so important that you listen to what your heart is telling you because you know how you feel about this food. And it's up to you to just listen and be tuned to what's going on and what's coming up because your intuition will guide you to where to go next. So keep on saying, this craving. My mouth is watering. Describe how you feel. I want it so much. Say whatever it is that you feel. I love this chocolate. I wish, I want this chocolate. Now, the next spot you're going to tap on is underneath your nose. My mouth is watering. This is just my suggestion. Now, the next spot you're going to tap is on your chin, right underneath your lip. My mouth is watering. Now, the next spot you're going to tap on is on your upper chest. What I like to do is I just like to put my hand on my chest as though I'm going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I just kind of rub my chest. Go, this craving, I want this so much. And now another spot is under your arm, just about where the center of your bra band is. This craving, I want this so much. Next is the top of the head. I'm so hungry, I want to eat this. Top of your head. You've now done one round of EFT using the points. Now what you want to do is you want to take a deep breath and exhale. And you're going to measure where the craving is now. Again, on a 0 to 10 basis, you're going to scale it again and determine, did you go up? Do you feel more intense? Do you want the food more than before or less than before? Now, if it's more, what happened was that your body was reminded of something, so you need to go deeper. You need to get a little bit more specific because that means that it brought up more memories. Just like puzzle pieces, our memories are made up of individual events. So let's just say, for example, that you have an event or a memory where you were in the house and your father opens the door, walks through the door, and just hits you across the face for no reason whatsoever. That would be made up of several key elements. There would be the door opening, the sound of the door, seeing your father in the doorway, seeing him walk toward you, seeing him get as close to you as, you know, he would get, and then hitting you. So So that's made up of about 7 to 10 different puzzle pieces, different aspects. They're called aspects. So when you're tapping and you notice that the intensity goes up, you want to ask yourself, what does this remind me of? What about this is upsetting me? And just continue to tap and just let it flow over you, just like a wave. So that is an example of how to use EFT for cravings. EFT is so simple. I hope that I haven't scared you off, because in its simplicity is its greatest beauty. All that I do, it's called tap and gripe. I just tap on the side of my hand, as I first told you, and I just say whatever it is that's on my mind. Oh, I'm so angry. I hate that person. This is so unfair. Why is this happening? Blah, 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 blah. Just go on and on and on. Say all the things you don't think you should be saying, the things that you're afraid to say, all of that. Get it out. Because if you don't, it's going to stick in your body, and you want it out. You're venting, you're releasing. By tapping on that point, the most important one is the psychological reversal point. And you can get that by the side of your hand and also by the upper portion of your chest. The other thing you could do is just rub the upper portion of your chest. That's all. While you're thinking or tuning into the problem, you will get such massive results, you'll be blown away. So you have had your first taste of EFT. There is so, so much more to come, because there's going to be a tremendous amount of opportunity to learn more, to experience it again here on the show, to meet with experts who have used it and teach it and all sorts of wonderful things. One of those experts who is going to be coming on the show soon, her name is Gloria Aronson. She is such an amazingly wonderful woman. She has helped thousands of women and men with eating disorders. She has a fabulous book. It's called Binge Eating. In her book, Binge Eating, How to Stop It Forever, Gloria Aronson says, binge eating is not so much a problem as it is a statement about unresolved issues in a person's life. So I want you to really, really think, the next time that craving to eat, whatever it is, whenever it pops up, realize it's about something else. It's not about the food. So if you want to learn more about EFT and go deeper, I offer private and group coaching programs. And my next craving zapping program will be coming in a few weeks. To learn more about what's doing and to get a free 60-page excerpt of my book, go to my website at thejuicywoman.com. I really, really want you to keep in touch with me on Twitter and find me there at thejuicywoman. Friend me on Facebook and take full advantage of my blog. Oh, my gosh, it's almost 8 years old now. And if you're in NIAC on March 6th, you'll be able to see me at the NIAC College. I'll be presenting at their health fair. Now, as I mentioned before, we're going to close each show with what I call a Juicy Woman checklist. Checklist task of the day. Here's what I want you to focus on this week. Who's bugging you? As I wrote in the checklist, it says, are you tolerating any person, place, or thing that's sapping your energy? Now, that doesn't mean that if your husband gives you a dirty look, you have to file for divorce or do anything drastic like that. But I want you to be aware that you need to start being protective of your time and energy and be sensitive to what you're taking in through your senses. Your five senses, as I mentioned them before, hearing, sight, taste, touch, smell. You have choice to fill your world with things that nurture you from within. It's up to you to start to notice what doesn't feel good. Maybe you've been tolerating listening to your son's metal music and you prefer jazz. Then you need to either ask him to turn it down or walk away. Same with people who are playing a tune that you just do not want to hear. I remember when my instructor, Corky Shulman, told me when I took the mind control seminar, she said, your ears are not garbage cans, and neither is any other part of you. Don't tolerate anything less than the best. Don't settle. Get what you really want. From food to friends, cookies to clothes, make no exceptions. This week, I encourage you to speak up. Make some noise and say what's on your mind. Or if that doesn't feel safe to you, then do what you have to put yourself in a safe space. Always be safe. And if you don't feel at ease, then you have to ask someone for help. As I've said before, handle your business before it gets out of hand. I love you so much. Until next week, make it a sparkling day. Bye, Juicy Woman.
I love my body.